You are listening to the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. How's it going? Keep it real. Take a red pill.
You drive a hard party.
Yes, hello. Good morning, good evening, wherever you are. This is the Red Pill Hardcore Radio Show. I am your host, V, and I have with me my ever faithful man wonder, the Sentinel, the Will Turbot from The Man the Truth.
I feel today, this morning, V. And you know, guys, V always wakes up extra early for us. You know, we don't realize, like, I'm kind of like in my element here. It's 11, you know what I'm saying? The night's just getting started for me. I'm just starting to get into prime time right now. Like this, I'm a night off, right? But V wakes up at mad early. What time is it that you wake up every day for this, V?
Well, it's 4:30 a.m., yeah. I mean, I'm a night owl as well, but not during the summertime. I gotta sleep when it's cool, you know? I can't handle all that sleeping during daytime and it's all, you know, warm and stuff, all bright. But luckily for me, technically it's still summer, but it's kind of ending here. Past few days has been dark and cloudy and it's going to be that way for the rest of the year. It's Poland, after all. So, I think
that's
I may
terrible.
End up switching
What's the hottest it's been out there this summer?
This has been a very, very mild, mild summer. Not too hot. I think there's like really 3 days out of summer that got to where it's like, oh, wow. Sweating. We should do something.
What is that, like 80s, 90s, what?
Well, low 90s.
Okay, yeah, okay. That's only 3 days that got that hot, too. That's crazy.
Yeah, pretty much. The first couple of times I got here was scorching, like 100 degrees, like every day.
What do the kids do
for fun in Poland?
What do the kids do in the summertime in Poland, man? Do they go to the lake? What do they do? What do the kids do out there?
They run around with scream their heads off.
Yeah.
All day, pretty much. It's all you hear around where I live. Just kids screaming their heads off. I don't know what those are doing.
You in a college town or something?
What was that?
Are you in a college town?
Well,
young kids or whatever.
There's the huge university here, but then it's a small country. There's a university in every city.
Really?
So, okay. You can't think of it like the U.S. Is it, you know, I'm in the second largest city besides the capital. Warsaw is the capital.
Yep.
And I'm in Wrocław, which is the second largest city in the country. So, I anywhere there's a city, I think there's going to be a university. Mm. But other than that, you have tiny villages. They call the towns villages here. Still.
That's interesting. Yeah, I always meant to kind of bone up on my knowledge of Poland, and I know a couple things, not much. You know, us Americans, speaking for me and my fellow, I'm a voluntarist, so I hate when I say I'm an American, but for the people that live in this area over here, we're really not too knowledgeable about what happens outside of our borders. Like, we don't really know what's going on in Canada besides the fact that Trudeau's a blackface creep, you know what I'm saying? And maybe the son of Fidel Castro, you know? Most people, I mean, we just don't know. But I did try to watch, there's two cool geography channels. One's Geography Now, and the other is Geography King. Shouts to Geography King, that's my boy right there. And, I try to learn a little bit about the countries. I try to watch a documentary about every single country, try to learn about the history, and there's so much, man. There's so much to know. Not enough time. It's like I'm never catching up on anything, man. But yeah, I think that's why having the benefit of traveling is probably really dope. I mean, even especially when you travel to somewhere, you want to learn about it. So you try to. Well, I mean, at least I do. I try to figure out a little bit about it. But then once you go there, it's a whole different perspective. So it would be cool to get out to Europe one day if they ever. If I can ever get somebody to write me a vaccine passport.
You know, that may not be very hard. Anarcho-capitalism just might prevail.
Well, it's going to have to. We really don't have another choice at this point, man. As such a person that's usually unflinchingly an optimist, last week or so, man, I've been pissed off. These people are, man, We're living in a brave new world, big time, big time, big time.
Well, speaking of anarcho-capitalism, did you see the video I put in the show chat here? Something, you know, ways that people get scammed, and one ways that people get scammed, and something that I'm sure I have been going through. I've been telling you guys I don't get my mail. Or I haven't been getting it on time, unless I complain about it on the air. something that the delivery companies, your DHLs, your UPS, etc., FedEx, etc., something that they do, the drivers get paid by a quota, by how many packages that they deliver. You think, okay, well, sure, but thing is, you know, when you get those, oh, we just missed you notifications or little notes on the door or your mailbox or something like that, or on your account when you're tracking your package, oh, attempted delivery. When you've been at home and nobody's delivered anything, and you know it's a lie, these drivers will purposefully mark a delivery attempt because they get paid for those as well. So they can drive right by your place, mark you down as attempted delivery, and not even stop. Isn't that funny?
Well, I've been going through the same thing right now with my mail, and, yeah, I mean, it's just so, everything is so backward, man. I mean, I used to remember when, you know, we'd even go into a post office and do an audit, and I'd be like, you know, why, no offense, Mr. America, but why the hell are we doing post offices? You know, there's better stuff to do. But now, came out that the post office, yes, the mother freaking post office is also spying on us. Look, I'm going to actually pull this one up right now because this was from a while back. Not too far back, though. I mean, this is how bizarre we are. The post office. Okay, yeah, so this is from April 21st, 2021. This is from Yahoo News. Postal Service covertly monitoring social media posts. This is from the New York Post. April 28th, USPS admits to spying on American social media posts. What? You can't even deliver our godforsaken mail. And you have the audacity to creep on us on social media? That's what they're doing with our money? And then, oh my God, dude.
Well, they have to see who will complain and who won't. Who they can screw over and who they can't. Well, it's part of it.
I think they made a very clear distinction during this pandemic, so-called pandemic. We realized which ones will get the jab, which ones will get their anus swab for COVID, which ones that would believe, trust the science, even though science is supposed to not be trusted, even though you're supposed to, and even the science that was supposed to be trusted kept changing and shifting and flipping. So I think they made a rather clear distinction of who's who and what's what. And it's very unfortunate that they've done such a good job with the help of people like Aldous Huxley and Edward Bernays, just brainwashing the everlasting crap out of people. And then the chemicals, you know, and the food and the water and the atmosphere, man, we're guinea pigs several generations in, and it's not even completely the people's fault. But it is definitely the people's fault who know what's going on and are not doing something. So those are the people I'm shaming tonight. Shame, shame. And screw the NSA and Joe Biden, too. And Donald Trump, especially Donald Trump.
Don't forget Bill Gates there. He's trying to.
Yeah, F him.
All right, well, guys, without further ado, I want to introduce our guest tonight. I've been telling you about her since last week, a little bit here and there, saying she was going to come on the show this evening, and we finally have her. We have a woman who is just as beautiful as she is intelligent. You want to talk about fiery activism and a symbol of strength for our community, for our society, really. I'm very proud to have her. She's an administrator, our social network, programming administrator, TLBTalk.com, guys. And she's currently running for a representative seat in her local state, I do believe. We have Allie French here tonight. How you doing, Allie?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys. How's it going?
Oh, it's going wonderful, especially that we have you here now.
Well, all right. I'm hoping to have some fun here tonight.
Oh, see, and what a voice. See, you already have my vote. I'd rather hear your vote. I'd rather hear your vote than Hillary Clinton's voice, rather.
I mean, that's not really that hard to do, though, is it? Come on now.
Well, tell us about yourselves. Where are you from? What got you started in all this?
Oh, man, what a story. So I am in southeast Nebraska in Omaha, and I got started probably late 2018, 2019 in the medical freedom movement. And I was taking a simple speech class for our community college, kind of discovered this entire world that recognized that our government and the people who run the pharmaceutical industry of the world don't really tell us the truth, like, ever. And it was amazing to find others that knew what I had known since, like, middle school, and quickly realized that, you know, there was a much larger agenda behind it. And my goodness, I could not believe that nobody was doing anything about it. You know, we have a couple rich folks who tramps around the country and tell everybody they're going to solve all their problems. But, you know, on the local level at home, there was nobody doing anything to stop this, and decided that wasn't good enough for me. So I decided to get out there and do something about it. And so I started a group chat with just a random bunch all spread across the country that I'd found in the Stop Mandatory Vaccination page. And within just a sheer few months, we decided to launch a nationwide grassroots group to fight mandatory vaccination. And that was Millions March Against Mandatory Vaccination. So we dove in head first, and that was quite an experience. I don't know how familiar you guys are with the medical freedom movement, but it can talk about murky waters. When you take on, you know, big pharma, they don't want us to win, and they, you know, insert themselves into this movement to prevent us from being able to move forward in a united front. And that became very apparent very quickly. And that's actually when I found Roger Landry. He and the Liberty Beacon actually wrote a hit piece on us. We might as well have been CIA operatives that were out to get everybody, you know, caught up in a mess. And I got a hold of him, and we got that all squared away and made a beautiful relationship from that, which I was super excited about. But it stimulated this passion and this drive for me to do more, because this is, you know, a multifaceted agenda. We're all aware of that. You know, they've got their core, you know, need for control, but they come at us from all sorts of directions. So we had several nationwide marches that went global. Australia is probably our biggest participant. They had millions at our last nationwide event. And then it quickly shifted when the so-called pandemic, or as I like to call it, a government-stimulated pandemic, you know, I quickly shifted gears.
Well, okay so I'm sorry, you started fading out there when you say you start shifting gears. Go ahead.
Okay, so we quickly shifted gears, and I got Nebraskans Against Government Overreach started, because I you know, obviously paying attention to the medical freedom movement, I knew that we had a new injection coming our way like we'd never seen before. I saw the mask mandates coming from the other side of the world headed this direction. So we got a group started to combat that, and we ended up going to every single city council meeting for about 52 weeks in a row, minus the few where they didn't have work, you know, because they get days off from government. But we didn't get days off of our mandate. We were still there, rain or shine, middle of the winter. We ended up moving into the gears of our state legislature. And, you know, they had bill after bill after bill riding on the coattails of a so-called pandemic to further strip away at the rights. They had one for the meatpacking plants, where these guys are already doing a dangerous job. It's not a clean place. And then they want to go and stick a mask on their face that's just going to trap more bacteria and cause potentially more harm. They're hard to see around, so on and so forth. And, you know, it was just a constant battle. I think we had public testimony 3 days out of the week down at the Capitol in Lincoln. And, I mean, we've kept ourselves extremely busy, extremely busy. And people had asked me for a very long time to run for office. And I tell you what, I really, really don't want to. I am not a politician. I have no desire to ever be a politician. But I do have a greater love for this country than myself. And I see the need for somebody like myself who isn't going to cater to the political agendas of either political party and tell the truth and make sure, you know, that we don't have bills that are being passed that are being based on fraudulent tests that have been recalled, or based on the concept of public health that, quite frankly, isn't the government's job. And there's just not enough people that are out there doing this. And it's become, you know, it's come to the point where I can no longer...
we can skip this break, Mike, please. Let's skip breaks tonight, if we can. You know what? You and I, we're definitely cut from the same cloth. Did I ever want to be a talk show host? No, I'm antisocial. I've always been. Do I feel like I'm responsible for mankind? Not necessarily, but I see the evils, and I know that my family is going to be affected, and ultimately the future generation. My main concern is the future generation, and so, yeah, I've hopped into action.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell you what, I've got 2 children. They're both under the age of 5, and they're not going to see a bloodline in my lifetime if I can help it. And unfortunately, unless we all hit the go button, we're definitely headed in that direction.
Mm-hmm. And you met Papa Landry there. So it seems though I have an adopted little sister now. Our family grows. We get bigger and bigger.
Isn't that lovely?
That was wonderful. But yeah, I've definitely been aware of the medical rights movement. I had done a few TV shows about that very thing. Before TLB TV went into hiatus, I had a series of people who had vaccine-injured children, and I was going to do an entire series on that, but we went into hiatus, so I put that on hold. I plan on picking that back up this fall when we come back with TLB TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be a good one. That's actually something that when I win a state senator position, I hope to be able to highlight myself as well with the platform. I think it would be extremely effective to have somebody within our local government able to report weekly on people who send in their vaccine injury stories, and until people figured out that it's not rare.
Yeah, mainstream media is not talking about any vaccine injury or any of the vaccine deaths. They just won't mention it, period.
They try really, really, really hard not to. And even when they do, they really love to throw in there, but it would have been worse without it.
Yeah.
What? Yeah. You can't tell me that. You don't know that. It might not have happened at all without it. How can you make such a claim?
Well, one thing that I've brought up on the show before is the simple fact that, you know, back in the day, the Big Pharma would put out something on the shelves, and, you know, if 4 or 5 people were harmed by the product, that product got pulled off the shelf.
Yeah.
That's no longer the case anymore.
No, it's not. If I remember correctly, they had a polio vaccine that they removed after 28 deaths. What's the exclusion here for this one? I'm pretty sure if you look back in history, they'd tell you more people died from polio than have died from COVID today. So, you know, it's interesting how the rules no longer seem to apply.
Yeah, that there's an agenda. So you recognize the depopulation agenda, even that Bill Gates himself spoke about.
Oh, absolutely. We actually have a lot of that stemming right here from Omaha, Nebraska. We have the wonderful UNMC. It's a University of Nebraska Medical Center. And they are the institution that sent millions in bioweapons to their sister hospital in, you'll never guess, Wuhan, China. And these people have a very close...
That's interesting. I was actually going to ask you right before you were getting into this anyways, from what you've come across in your own research, where do you think this ultimately came from?
Well, you know, that's a good question. So I believe that they feel very strongly that they created a bioweapon that could harm and infect, you know, a whole bunch of people. Now, my personal belief is not in contagion theory, but terrain theory. I do believe that they got people to you know, go into mass hysteria. They put people in masks and depleted their immune systems. I do believe that with the injection we're dealing with and the potential for spike protein shedding, that we're looking at something completely different that may very well have more of a contagion aspect to it. But we haven't been able to isolate a virus. We can come up with a small segment of a genome that might signify the existence of a virus. But when it comes down to it, it's a coronavirus like any other. And like we know happened way back in, you know, what's the story I'm thinking of? When they threw the dead bodies over the walls in ancient Egypt, and they thought that they were going to kill everybody off with the plague that had killed the people they threw over the buildings. But what they really did was they caused mass hysteria. People locked themselves in their homes and they starved to death. They lived in unclean, unsanitary conditions and died of malnutrition and other things. But it wasn't necessarily that they caught whatever was going around. And so it's a hard line, because we're also dealing with this new concept of spike protein shedding from an mRNA injection, and the potential for that to be one of their self-spreading vaccines. You know, we're talking about technology. This is no longer organic viruses. We're talking about technological, what's the word I'm looking for, coding, that could potentially affect others.
Yes, and this is my co-host, Will Turbitt, by the way. I don't know if you've met him yet. He's on our network.
Pleasure, and I'm glad that you're running. We need more people to take part in nonviolent activism. We're just letting these fools, these elite, run everything. And you're right, it's pretty surprising when you first get into it. You think that there'd be people doing stuff, but they're not. Guys, if you're listening, nobody's doing jack crap. You got to get out off your ass and do it yourself. So I admire that you're doing that. When do your elections take place? What's your platform like? Who are you running against?
Well, so that's some exciting stuff in and of its own. We are currently going through redistricting. So I actually don't know what district I'm going to be in for another 3 or 4 weeks. But I really don't care where I end up. I'll be running. that's done and been decided. Pretty much every district around me, though, is going to be an open seat. Almost all of our representatives are termed out. And so at this point, I'm kind of just walking in wherever I end up. It's kind of beautiful.
And I'm not sure if we're going to take this break or not, but either way, please take an opportunity to plug yourself. I know you're on TLBtalk.com, which is also the sponsor of tonight's show. TLBtalk.com, TLBtalk.com, censorship-free, no big business interest, and you can get the app on Apple and Android, so go over to TLBtalk, but where can people find more about you besides TLBtalk? How can people donate to your cause?
Oh, best way to do that is to check out primarily our state group, which is NAGOT. It's NAGO.group. NAGO.group. And then I also have my own website, which is alliefornebraska.com, and it's Ally, A-L-L-I-E. A little bit of everything.
You know, I think if you got an office, you would be someone very controversial and very powerful. You know, Will, I think we might have our own AOC. What do you think?
That would be nice. Well, I mean, I think she's more of a free thinker than AOC. I think AOC was just concocted, but AOC does get some good things.
She's definitely smarter.
Right.
But just the level of power that AOC has, though, I think we could have.
It's true. People, the young kids are begging. Well, at least the leftist young kids are begging for her to run for president. So, yeah, we need somebody like that to counteract her, although she does get a few things right up on Wall Street and a few other things. But, yeah, she definitely trusts the science. She definitely thought January 6th was the end of her world when she was in an entirely different building. So, yeah, we need to replace AOC.
Yeah, no doubt about it. You know how they say politicians don't start parades, they join them? Well, that's your proof right there that I'm not a politician, because we're starting our own parades here. One of our biggest movements, and I am super excited for this, is that we have rallied together thousands of our healthcare workers as the state med centers and university med centers begin mandating the COVID injections for them. And I happened to rally them all together and found them an attorney so that when and if they're fired, they can get together and file a lawsuit. But this next Monday and Tuesday, we have gotten them riled up, and we are going to go protest these med centers until they reverse their policy. And that's something I don't see any of these other politicians doing and standing up for these people. They'll sign pretty papers, they'll put a post or a tweet out there, but when are they going to actually take real action? That's what we need from these people, is to stand up and tell the flipping truth.
Yes, yes. And that's something, you know, I think about all the time, because I have family members who work in the medical industry. And I think about, you know, when this whole thing happened, I tried rushing to the phone to get to them. It's like, okay, you haven't taken the vaccine yet, have you? It's like, no, well, you probably shouldn't. Well, I have to, because, you know, I'm a dental hygienist, yep. And it's like, they're mandating it. If I don't do that, I don't have a job. It's like, well, you know, luckily for me, you know, my family members that I've reached out to have already had their children, and I haven't having any more, but that's really the danger zone. Is, you know, if you're young, you haven't had any kids yet, you know, mm-hmm. you can't take this gene therapy, this gene-altering
that's substance. Meant to target the ovaries and reproductive system.
Right. I've at least got her to admit, or at least to agree that she won't be letting my nephew get the vaccine, which is great. He's woke as hell, too, so I'm actually very proud of him. But yeah, we need to get some more people awake. We need to get this information out to the mainstream, and I think the only way we're going to break the mainstream hold on the truth is if we have a politician out there who is pushing it, because nobody else, you know, independent media, even doctors themselves, you know, we're all get shut out. But if you got a politician out there talking about it, we got a chance.
They can't shut them up quite the same way. You know, they've been elected, they've been put on to, you know, state television, and they can't just shut that off. They can't just usher them out of the room. It's you know, that's one of the things that I actually look forward most to, is being able to stand there and talk for 14 hours on the Senate floor so I'm blue in the face and they get the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And this should be very, very good. They need more of it. I know we have, you know, great representatives out there, but just a handful isn't enough. We've got to get more and more people, just normal, everyday people, away from the elitists, away from the experienced politicians. We need our everyday people, our blue-collar people, to step up and take these positions and get this country back to where it's the power of we the people, because we're the ones who run this. Government's just supposed to be, you know, our civil servants that do the paperwork.
Mm-hmm. And do you think you would have any political power if you got to office to have an investigation put onto the stats? You know, because we're all being lied to about the COVID deaths. You know, and people dying in car wrecks are being called COVID deaths. So this is something that I really want exposed.
So, and that is actually something that I have been reading about for the last year now. And in Nebraska specifically, when we look through our statutes, we get to the point where they start talking about emergency powers and what things qualify under emergency powers. And for us, it's the threat of an epidemic. That's where they get it. It's just the threat of an epidemic. So what I feel we need to do is be able to get legislation in there where we amend that so that they have requirements. They can't just say, oh, there's a threat. The public health officials have spoken. There's a threat. That's it. No. They need to fit specific qualifications. And I'm sorry, but cases don't count, okay? They just don't. We need to be going strictly based off deaths. And even if we did something as ridiculous as saying once there's 1,000 deaths in a two-week rolling period, we never hit that point, especially here in Nebraska. We never hit that point. So if they were to refuse something as small as, you know, 1,000 deaths in a two-week rolling period, then maybe they could begin to claim that there's a threat of an epidemic. But we need those specific details added in and amended to the legislation so that when these sorts of threats come up again in the future, because that's what our government likes to do, the government has for a very, very long time propagated pandemics in order to control our population. They did it with polio. They've done it with measles over and over again. They do it with the flu very, very regularly. I mean, we have a long-standing history of this. So we need set guidelines that tells them when they can act, when they can call it a threat, when they can actually deem it a pandemic. And just going off of CDC guidelines aren't good enough. We need it in our legislative statutes, what qualifies and what doesn't, so that we can't overstep these bounds again. Quite frankly, personally, I would like to see blanket medical freedom added to our U.S. Constitution and our state constitutions so that, because it, you know, our health is not the government's job, but we already have a lot of these statutes in there. So we first need to make sure that the details are in there so that they can't infringe on our rights again. Then we need to get the people on board. And if you haven't looked at them very much, initiatives are a fantastic way of putting the power back into the hands of we the people. And if we could get something like a medical freedom added into our constitution so that not only individuals, but our medical practitioners have the freedom to treat and prescribe or none of the above for their patient, their individual patient, as deemed necessary without the incentive or manipulation or coercion of outside agencies and insurances. Man, what a revolution we'd have for our healthcare system. I tell you what.
What do you see as the, I mean, I've been, you know, at least on a peripheral level involved in the medical freedom movement for a while now. I've never been a central player or anything like that, but I've went to many rallies and protests. I've been involved online and what is your take on the future of what's going on now? Because on one hand, it looks like we get a lot of people waking up, but on the other hand, it looks like there's a lot of sheep just taking the vaccines. And then now we got the Delta variant and all these and Ligma variant. I mean, what do you think the future of this, sorry, I accidentally muted there. What do you think the future of the medical freedom movement looks like?
Well, we are definitely on a precipice. We are at a turning point where people are either going to wake up and stand with us and fight, or we're going to go back into another year of complacency and we just won't see the end of this. It will perpetuate, as you can see there now. Not only the Delta variant seems to kind of have, they're kind of brushing over because they don't want to talk about the breakthrough infections that their injection isn't protecting people from the next variant. So now they're switching over and they're getting us ready for RSV and the new mRNA.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, Allie. I'm not sure if it's your device or maybe Wi-Fi. You're coming in and out. You've been doing it for like a minute or so, but now I think it's getting a little worse.
Yeah, can we switch over to a phone line? Is that possible?
I certainly can. I can tell you guys, when I did the InfoWars interview the other week, they kicked me off Skype for a moment, so they don't like me doing this. I tell you that much.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, Mike in the chat, if you could hook her up with phone numbers and trade phone numbers, that would be great. I will go ahead and say, so remember, Will, when I predicted at the very start of this thing, it's not just going to be one vaccine. It's not going to be a one fix all. I told you they were going to come out with a variant, and there's going to be, oh, there's got to be another vaccine a year later. And then after that, I said it's going to be, oh, there's going to be another variant and another little shot. This time, you got to have a shot every 6 months. Oh, well, and it's probably going to get to the point where they're going to want us to take it every 3 months. And so, and it's going along that progression, is it not?
Yeah, you were right, unfortunately. It's incredible how quickly they change the science, and you're supposed to trust it, and then they change it, and you trust it again. I'm really afraid, man. I don't want to say afraid. I guess that's a bad word, but I'm less optimistic than I have been. I mean, it's okay when you get in your crib and you're kind of away from everybody and you kind of forget about things for a little bit. Which, I mean, I'm still learning stuff and I'm still working on things, but just getting inside the house, kind of relax, wind down a little bit, you kind of forget about it. Then when you get on the news, or when I scan through the news, or you talk to people, you just see idiots outside, man. It's getting frustrated. And the idiots don't even bother me as much when the country's open, when people can go to worship as they please, when you don't need a passport to rent a hotel room or go to the gym. So I believe we have our guest, Allie, back, and you guys can check her out, Allie for Nebraska, AlliefOrNebraska.com. Allie, are you back with us?
I am back with you guys.
I wanted to ask you a random question. Actually, you know, get back to what you're talking about, if you recall. Sorry, because we kind of interrupted you there. My apologies.
No, you were fine. Let's see, where were we at? We were talking about... No,
all right, I have something that's burning and itching here. We have a very technological age. This isn't the 1950s where, you know, medical science is still sort of fledgling and you have to just trial and error and take the government's word for it. We have such medical science and we have such ways of viewing such medical information that we shouldn't have to just trust one organization such as the CDC's word for anything.
Mm-hmm.
For something like this, I want an autopsy performed on a bona fide victim of the COVID virus, a deceased virus. We should have a full autopsy. You want to talk about the lungs filling up with fluids? Well, we need to have rated mature, you know, plus 18, full autopsy available for us on the internet to look at. Oh, well, this is happens when you know this person gets infected and dies from COVID-19. But we've got nothing like that. They can't isolate the virus because it doesn't exist. They can't even isolate this Delta variant. They can't isolate the virus. How do they know they have a variant? You know, why don't we have this information and the science? They say, trust the science. But where is the
They don't provide any. Right. It's extremely frustrating, I tell you what. And there's really not even a good answer for it. The fact of the matter is that we all have the right to not believe them, and even more so, to just believe in another way, right? I mean, this is just, they aren't a governing agency, not of the people. They don't dictate policy over our daily lives. And yet, for some reason, you know, they've been given this blanket, you guys are the all-knowing advisors, and we won't take anybody else's advice but yours. When did that happen? When did this medical dictatorship suddenly form where they're the only ones who could possibly know, even when they get it wrong or change their mind the next day or 4 weeks later, whatever it may be? And I did actually remember what we were talking about earlier. You'd asked about, you know, are people just going to start complying with this again? You know, they keep the media shows us that more and more people are buying right back into this. And I think a lot of the time, and even on social media, that they're only showing us what they want us to see. If we get out there in the real world and we start talking to real people, people that don't have ties to somebody or another, I don't think that the majority of people really agree with this. Now, do I think that they're ready to stand up and fight it? No. I do believe that it takes personal inconvenience to stimulate, you know, people's desires to stand up and correct this. We see that with our healthcare workers. Many of them have known that this was a farce for the past year, but it took until they were mandated to get an injection. They truly, strongly are opposed to, whether it's for medical reasons or religious reasons or personal reasons, but it took until they were inconvenienced. And what drives me...
I could not agree more. When...
And what... Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No, you're fine. But what drives me nuts is that, and correct me if I'm wrong here, guys, but did we all not learn about Anne Frank and the Holocaust, like, a couple times throughout our schooling? Did they not tell us all that we need to stand up for our neighbor, even if we don't agree with them? That,
well, it's funny you bring up the Holocaust.
If I didn't have to have my headphones on right now, I'd take my shirt off, whip it around my head, and be like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Well, it's crazy that you bring up the Holocaust and Anne Frank, because now it's completely went a 360, a total inversion. As you brought up, if you bring up terrain theory, you're viewed as a germ theory denialist. That's literally something that's, I mean, I believe that's a Wikipedia page. I believe, let me just double check. Let me see, germ theory denial. It's like a, yeah, so if you question science, which is the whole idea of science, is to question things and then put it to scrutiny. So if you question something that is inherently questioning by nature, you're right on par with a Holocaust denier.
Well,
yep.
The great
Wikipedia
news
germ
is,
theory denialism. So
right.
You're terrible.
Well, you know, the amazing thing is I don't fit into any boxes. You know how many times people tell me, oh, you're anti-vax. Well, you must be a Trump supporter. You must be a Trump lover. Why do you take your health advice from Trump? I'm sorry. Why do people think that Trump dictates my daily health choices? He has
Trump was the one that gave us the warp speed vaccine.
Right.
You're the one that
like
said that's very masculine, patriotic.
Any of it. Yeah,
yeah,
I know. I hear
Trump's under lot of pressure. Originally, Trump was against the stuff. People are forgetting that. He got pushed into saying, okay, well, this is what I should say. People are forgetting that. But then again, so, I like where you're going with this. You know, Trump doesn't dictate our daily lives. And yeah.
Right. He can say whatever he wants. That has nothing to do with my decision. But it goes to what you were saying about being called a germ theory denialist, and that is people make those assumptions. They put you into a box. Well, if you believe this, then you also must believe this. It goes along with the lines of man's need to follow somebody, right? And that happens on both sides of the spectrum, rather than a true free-thinking, pick your own, you know, what you're going to be interested in, what you're going to read about. We all have the ability to know everything if we take the time to read about it, to learn about it. But that can only come from yourself. Nobody else can do that for you. You can watch all the videos in the world. But until you begin to go and look at the core of where that information came from, you don't know the information that you're repeating to people. We need people to know the information that's based from that people are delivering. And that's what I think we have a big disconnect. And I think a lot of that comes back down to, and this will actually be one of the main proponents of my campaign, is we need to improve our literacy rates in schools, guys. Kids don't have the same drive anymore to read and educate themselves and just know more. They're happy to just sit there in front of whatever screen was handed to them and just suck in whatever's put on that screen, whether it's true or not, whether it's based in reality or not. And it all just comes down to that vital core learning to read.
If you go to like C-SPAN and watch English sessions, if you go to your local city council, if there's anything that needs to be done and it requires money, what is the first thing that gets put on the chopping block? Education. Okay, how much can we cut from education? And well, that is the crime, isn't it, Will?
Well, you know what? In a perfect world, that would be a crime, but the thing is, and I think this is part of the reason this goes to Allie's point, and she can correct me if I'm wrong here, but, you know, it's one thing to have governments to just have regular good money for schooling, but when it's government schooling, that's the problem. I'm more pro-homeschooling, and then even to the idea of maybe unschooling, but bare minimum as well. If we're paying the kids this money and the Federal Reserve, the teachers, this money, and the Federal Reserve has inflated our currency so that we have to send our kids to school, because not every person can afford to, you know, send your kids to a private school or even homeschool. Go ahead, B.
Well, high school is useless. I've told everybody that high school is useless. I'm an actual example of that. I tested out. Okay, I graduated from high school as a freshman.
Yikes.
That's how useless high school is. Okay.
Oh, guys, I used to sit there. I had like 126% in nearly every single class. I never had a homework a day in my life. I had it done 5 minutes after class started. They didn't teach you anything. You didn't even have to know what they were going to teach that day to answer their questions correctly, according to what they needed, what they required.
Mm-hmm.
As long as you read the lesson, you didn't have to learn anything to pass school. And that's kind of sad.
That's really sad, yeah. I mean, this is all based on, you know, Prussian schools of obedience for the Industrial Revolution is completely outdated. I just say, hey, you teach a kid the Socratic method and you're good to go. But I want to switch gears back real quickly because Mike put this in the chat, and I'm very curious about this because I'm very new to the idea that, as Mike puts in the chat, germ theory is BS. So this is something I've heard maybe once or twice before, but never went down that rabbit hole. But I've heard it pop up a few times now with COVID. I heard you speak about it. I was wondering if you and Mike could jump on the mic too, the real Mike, and tell us why some of the criticisms or why you may think that germ theory is BS. Because I'm curious to learn.
Okay, here I got a quick question for you.
Sure.
Have you ever seen a virus leave one person, land on another person, and symptoms develop within 15 minutes?
Never. No.
No. Guess what? Nobody ever has. That has never been clinically observed. It hasn't.
Wow.
Okay? So it's a theory that's complete baloney. It has never been proven. We've never, ever, ever seen it happen. But what we do see happen is terrain theory acting on viruses that people do have. It's through our lifestyle choices that we exhibit symptoms. You know, for instance, let's
kind of like epigenetics. Epigenetics.
Yes.
Okay.
But let's take polio, for example, because this is a fantastic one to go with. Polio is an enterovirus, okay? It lives in our gastrointestinal tract. We live with it. Everybody's had it. It's been around for a millennia. 97% of the cases during the polio epidemic were asymptomatic. The only people who experienced things such as paralysis and death were often or always exposed to some form of arsenic, because arsenic was what was required to attach to the anterior horn of the virus, creating paralysis. But without man's intervention, without man causing it, viruses themselves don't cause harm. There's viruses in our DNA. It is part of who we are. We live in symbiosis with bacteria,
that also would
and viruses.
Explain, even though the PCR tests aren't used for that, but that would also explain why you would get a hit on a PCR
correct.
Test because, yeah.
Correct.
Okay, so thank you for
and
breaking that down for me, yeah.
Yes, and even more so, it's why we have the illusion of something going around. Well, it is very, very common for people who live in the same area to be exposed to these same toxins, these same contaminants, many of the same lifestyle choices. And guess what, guys? Our bodies respond similarly with similar symptoms to similar contaminants.
Wow.
Right? We see this in families with reactions to vaccines. It's why you'll have families of autism down generations, because that family has a genetic predisposition to react a certain way to a component of that vaccine. Well, it is the same thing with our lifestyle choices and viruses and bacteria. Our bodies respond to our environment, not the other way around. When our bodies produce more mucus, it's not a bad thing. It's actually a good thing. It's our body protecting and lining the inside of our throat or our nasal cavities. I mean, getting sick potentially is actually a good thing. It's why vaccination, we could even throw out the argument of whether they're, you know, dangerous or safe. They're just blatantly not needed. We can take measles, for example. Did you know that measles can reduce your risk of allergies, can reduce your chances of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma? You know, these are things that, I'm sorry, I would rather get measles and reduce my chances of cancer than take a shot that could give me cancer.
Right.
Yes. I
don't know if we're going to take this commercial break. Sorry to interrupt you yet again, Allie, and everyone
should
go
to the top of the hour, definitely.
Allie. Okay, so we're going to take this break. Everyone go to Allie for Nebraska, AlleeFornebraska.com. Find out where she stands on the issue. Send her a donation. There's a tab right at the top there. And Mike, I'm going to want you on the other side of this break to chime in on any,
I want to try real quick to wrap this up in like one sentence and we can elaborate
okay,
later
good.
If it doesn't work or if it's a little off.
No, this is good.
This germ theory crap is like saying either trash collectors cause trash or trash garbage causes trash collectors to, exist.
It's like blaming the flies for the trash.
Yeah, the fly thing is when I try to look it up on the internet. I'm looking it up right now and I can't find it, but yeah, people thought that something about the flies, they totally flipped it around where they thought, well, trash creates flies. When the point is the flies are there because there's trash and they're there to clean it up. Just like viruses and bacteria, there's a lot of, I guess Will wasn't here when we talked about this, I'm pretty sure. Me and V, it's
well,
good stuff.
Well,
thanks a lot, Mike. Now I'm more confused.
But for right now, we do have to take our top of the hour break. So, guys, be calling in too if you want to talk to Ali French. So stick around and we'll be right back.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.